Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ness and Dormer, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Football Ramble. My name's Marcus and Pete's here.
Hello.
Yes, he's
eating
back.
Again.
Thank goodness for that. It's been rubbish without you. Luke.
Pete's eating soup without a spoon.
Cold
Say
soup.
Hello.
All right.
It's one in, one out at the minute because Jim's not here. Like a terrible provincial nightclub.
It's birthday. Time for him.
I think if we were going to describe ourselves in a metaphor of that nature, a terrible provincial nightclub would be very, very apt. Pete's even dressed for it.
Hey, don't be rude.
Shirt and shoes.
Yeah. Shirt and shoes only.
No trainers.
Yeah. What about those Croatian players, eh? Photographed bathing in the bath, weren't they?
Why wouldn't you bathe in the bath?
Well, if I look like them.
That is what bathing is.
Yeah. Were they swimming, though?
Well, they're in the team's swimming pool.
Yeah. You shouldn't be in with your pants off. That's not allowed.
No, heavy petting. If it's their swimming pool.
No bombing in the league table.
It's all good, clean fun.
They didn't think they would be photoed by a couple of members of the paparazzi hiding in a bush.
They got caught on a long lens.
They did.
At what point do you think those paparazzi, because that's the plural, sit in that bush taking photos in secret of Croatian football players naked? Do you reckon at any point they sort of assess their life choices? Yeah. I reckon every so often a paparazzo, which is the singular, every so often goes...
Thank you, Luke.
It's never picked up in the press like that, is it? It's always just paparazzi. It's annoying.
There's always more than one of them.
But I think every so often a paparazzo just goes... Oh, fuck this. I'm going to get a normal job.
Do you not think once that, I've always wanted to do like World Cup coverage? Yeah. This is brilliant. We're out in Brazil. It's the World Cup.
Yeah.
Oh, look at his tackle snap.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
I remember watching a TMZ video from 5 years ago. I remember Christina Aguilera was leaving a van to go to a nightclub or whatever the heck. And one of them was going, Christina, dirty girl, dirty girl, Christina. And I just thought, that is the most pathetic use of your time. Yeah. Dirty girl.
Yeah, Christina going to nightclubs.
Honestly, yeah. I know.
I'll tell you, we'll get
to the show in a minute, ladies and gentlemen.
I used to work with a guy from the band Towers of London. You remember them?
The sort of punk crap.
Fairly obnoxious punk. But the guy I know is a nice fella. Anyway, and he said that at the height of their so-called fame, he said that when he'd be walking down the street, paparazzi would be like literally spitting in front of him. Almost on his shoes.
Well, to try and get a reaction.
Yeah, basically just doing the most basement horrible stuff you can imagine just to get a reaction from. There's nothing to suggest that these paparazzi were spitting in the swimming pool for these Croatian players. Mm, but
no.
I'm just putting it out there as an example of what that's, like, levels
what they're like.
The
what they're like.
I hate to think what they do to Pete when he's walking home.
What happens to you, Pete?
They just spit directly on me.
It's more of the thing that annoys you about it all is more the sort of ignoring of you, isn't it?
Yeah. But it's just, I think there's a mutual respect though there.
Yeah, okay, you. Yeah. Not you know. Relevant.
All right, guys. Yeah, you ignore me. I'll ignore you. I got you.
Yeah,
I got you.
Well, anyway, Niko Kovac, the manager, the Croatian manager, was furious by this, and he said the players don't want to talk to the media now. So up theirs.
Yeah,
damn right, Croatia. Yeah,
you've ruined it for everyone.
Who from the World Cup would you least or most like to see nude?
Oh, good.
Luke.
Oh, okay. Good. We started like this, have we? Yeah, I don't remember the question being quite so tawdry last week when Jim was in.
Yeah. You're back now, baby. Got to alter it, haven't we?
Right off straight.
Got to change the tactics. No more tiki-taka.
You've got to use a system to accommodate me, Marcus.
Ring in the long diagonal.
Niko Kranjčar.
He's not there.
Exactly. That's what you said. Who would you most like to see?
Who from the World Cup?
I think you'll find
and
the
you've
World
chosen
Cup.
Someone who's not there.
Let me finish. Oh. The World Cup technically starts as soon as qualification starts. This is the World Cup finals, not the World Cup. The World Cup qualification is still very much part of the FIFA competition.
Right.
Niko Kranjčar has performed and contributed to Croatia extensively. So my answer is Nico Cranco.
No points.
When did Diego Maradona stop managing Argentina? Would there be any crossover there, possibly?
Perhaps. Why did this have to happen when the most handsome Croatian footballer around is not involved?
But this won't happen.
Yeah.
This question is not to be taken lightly, or literally, or in any kind of importance. Pete,
I'd probably go for Ulke de Souza.
Ulke,
yeah,
Ulke. Oh yeah, okay. Well, you would most like to see, or least
most
like to,
like to see, but I'd also have Wayne Rooney in as well, because then I could point at Ulke and say, listen, Wayne, that is what a chubby lad looks like when he plays football and takes it seriously.
Yeah.
Because he's big, but he's really muscular.
Yeah.
Because he's been working out.
That's right.
What have you been up to, chubby cheeks?
He's just been, Rony just been smoking.
Just smoking.
Drinking.
Naughty. I choose Raul Morelos.
Oh, yeah, okay. Mm.
He looks terrifying.
Very extensively tattooed.
Yeah.
Have you thought that through?
Looks like a barista.
Mine would be sort of least,
yeah, he does.
Least and most, because I think it would be terrifying most, especially when he's like, really passionately shouting,
get away, you little sod in the bush.
I'm sure I've seen him as a cycle courier in East London. One of those little hats on, those bags over his shoulder.
Yeah, there we are. No points given out. No points given out.
No.
Not good enough. Not good enough. Let's move on to the World Cup, for crying out loud. Brazil 0, Mexico 0. Singing of the anthems was passionate.
Yeah, Neymar was crying.
He was, wasn't he? I tell you what,
he cries a lot, though. I think
there was a lot of Mexicans in the crowd as well. They gave a good account of themselves and the old national anthems. Did they not?
It's not as impressive to see someone crying with passion or emotion when you know in your heart of hearts that they cry all the time. Hence, Neymar.
Right. Okay.
Pete, you want to salvage something here?
Well, what do you mean?
Well, I'm just saying, Neymar, the big headline.
Come on, the anthems were fantastic.
Yeah, they were.
You know, the
right,
crowd were getting on it. It was a great start to the game.
It looked like a great atmosphere. It was a great start.
But
to
for
the
every
game.
One of those, yeah, but for every one of those, there's like three times when they boo their Brazilian team off the field.
Yeah.
In a pre-tournament.
Okay, so you didn't enjoy the singing of the Brazilian anthem.
I enjoyed it, yes, but what
we
I'm
all
saying
enjoyed it.
Right, the
good.
Headline from this particular thread
yes.
was that Neymar was crying.
Uh-huh.
And I was saying, okay, fine, Neymar was crying. It obviously means a lot to him. That's nice to see. But on the other hand, he clearly cries a lot.
Yeah, there we are, ladies and gentlemen.
So he probably cried when he caught his fingernail in his bootlace before the game.
That is painful, though.
Fair enough. That's true. We've all done that.
It didn't help them, though.
Sort of Messi after a really heavy night out going, puked everywhere. It's like, we always puke.
Yeah, you puke all the time, every day. Yeah. Yeah,
good point there, good point. Scolari said in the Confederations Cup last summer that he was worried by Mexico, like most worried by Mexico, even more than the Spanish.
Mm.
And perhaps he was right to do so again. The Mexican keeper, Ochoa, had a fantastic day.
You couldn't hear the crowd over the sound of fax machines firing up, given that he's a free agent.
Every time he made a save, just in the background, terrific, terrific.
Yeah.
He was excellent. He made some good saves. I thought Brazil were really below par. I mean, it's a funny paradox, really, because I thought Brazil were really, really below par, but at the same time, they seemed to have quite a lot of chances, and the Mexican keeper made quite a lot of good saves.
Mm.
But I just found that...
the most in the tournament, I think.
Was it? Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me. I just found their build-up so predictable.
Yeah,
and you wonder where their pace is coming from in their team. I mean, because Alves doesn't look anywhere near as fast as he used to be. Neymar moves the ball quickly, of course, but other than that, I mean...
Well, they need to sort out that midfield, do they?
Yeah, big time.
The midfield's plan just seems to be, give it to Neymar, and then when the Mexicans just crowd him out, there's just no plan B.
No.
Well, that's not even a plan A, really. Give it to Neymar.
What they're doing is trying to build up a load of space around Neymar so Fred can take advantage. Only, unfortunately, Fred doesn't look in the least bit interested. He can take advantage of a fucking meal deal, let alone a bit of space in a World Cup game.
Yeah, he's not performing, is he? I think it's safe to say. But I think the midfield three are crucial, and he tried to sort of change it. I mean, it is a surprise that Paulinho's in there.
Mm.
I thought that, you know, someone like Willian has had a good year, and Fernandinho is the one I think that I'm surprised he didn't put him in there. But also, Oscar, he's put out wide. Now, Oscar had a good first game, so maybe he can be justified by playing him out there again. But I'd actually like to see Oscar playing like he does a little bit more for Chelsea. A little bit more central, because he's got a bit of craft and skill, and that's something that they're lacking in there.
The problem with Scolari is that he's set on this team way too early. He likes doing that. He's basically told, as we said before, Paulinho that he's going to be in the team, and Paulinho's not performed for a very long time. He isn't anywhere near good enough It certainly didn't against Mexico anyway. And look at the stats in the Brazil-Mexico game. Brazil just didn't dominate the game. It was pretty much even. I mean, Brazil had a bit more possession, maybe a couple more shots. But, I mean, they're at home in their own World Cup.
Mm.
And Mexico have gone through four managers in qualifying or something.
Yeah.
So, do you know what I mean? It's
like, Mexico looked very good, though, didn't they?
They looked much better in the tournament itself, absolutely. Yeah, they have.
But that, like we said, though, they know what to do when they turn up.
Yeah.
Mm. Which is quite a handy thing to do. They have had a little bit of extra help. We talked about Ghana's premier witch doctor, who was trying to injure
the only
Cristiano.
Which doctor you'll ever need.
That's right, who was trying to injure Cristiano Ronaldo. Apparently, Mexico's grand warlock, Antonio Vasquez.
I like the sound of that.
Yeah. A grand warlock, wow.
Yeah. Well, they've got one. Yeah. I was unaware of this, foolish me. He's had a little bit more luck with his magic / prediction. And he said, we completely blocked the team of Cameroon so that they couldn't do any damage with their sorcery and rituals.
Mm.
And perhaps he did the same against Brazil.
Maybe he did, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, two clean sheets.
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think that's the most likely reason.
I think we saw them in qualifying. Why suddenly the change of fortune?
Coincidence?
Yeah.
I think not.
Talk to the Grand Warlock of Mexico.
Yeah.
What I would say,
I would, do you know what? I would love to. I would get him in here. I would love to.
He looks a bit like Raul Morelos in 20 years.
Yeah. He said, I'm just going to make Marquez really good and he'll just crowd out all
I
the
love Marquez.
He was brilliant.
Magnificent.
He could play like that when he's 70.
Yeah.
Just strolling around. The whole
only three at the back as well.
Yeah,
incredible.
The whole defensive part of their team is essentially just to accommodate Marquez.
Well, yeah, you said that last week.
It's great.
This is how we play and it's going to bloody work.
Yeah, I really like watching him play. What did you think of Thiago Silva's foul on Hernandez?
He could have been off, couldn't he?
That was 100 mile now. That was not the decision-making process of one of the world's best defenders.
I was this with a friend of mine, and you know, we were both saying that this guy, he's tipped by many as the best defender in the world. Certainly one of the best.
Yeah,
in the world.
Absolutely. Yeah, cool.
He was obviously great for Milan. He's not dropped off particularly for PSG, as far as I'm aware.
Well, they're unlucky not to do more in the Champions League. Yeah, they've done
but
well
to,
at home.
To fly into a tackle like that when it's 0-0, and it's on the edge of your box, it's in a big game, etc., etc. It's just mad.
It was never, but I mean, realistically, the ball was never there to be won. It was a really poor decision, I thought. And really, if the referee had interpreted it another way, he could have walked for that.
Mm. But then I think we've seen other decisions not go the right way.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
Involving one of these teams.
I was absolutely certain that in the last 5 or 10 minutes, Brazil was just going to get a penalty.
But there was that shout with Marcelo.
And he didn't give it.
Now Scolari came out fighting in the press conference. And he said...
all right, the referee may have lost a finger. We don't know how that happened, all right?
What do you think about the referee before?
He didn't go to
it. He certainly will not be making that sort of performance again. We've made sure of that.
Scolari, he was very much on the offence, and he said to the media, OK, so there are no more penalties for Brazil, right? I hope you're pleased with yourselves. Well done. Because apparently, because the media made such a big deal of Brazil getting a soft pen,
it caused Marcelo to throw himself on the floor.
Yeah. Well, there's your bleeding sorcery,
Marcelo. That was another really poor decision because he could have done more with the ball then. I mean, he had the goal really at his mercy. I mean, outside of Marcelo, Oscar, and Neymar, I wonder where Brazil's thrust is coming from. Mm. And I don't think Cameroon will be good enough. But I think, you know, you look into the second round. Well, it's going to be difficult for Brazil if they don't step up their performance.
Well,
just to finish really quickly, I was saying that I don't know if now they've got that performance against Croatia out of their system, they'll be a lot better. But they didn't seem better at all.
No, they didn't. And I think that, you know, I don't think they will be playing a very tough game in the second round. Because, I mean, surely Brazil will go through. I mean, you would imagine them to beat Cameroon. I mean, at the time of recording, Cameroon are still in the competition. They may well not be. By the time the two teams play against each other. And I mean, they did look very, very defensively poor against Mexico. Mexico probably could have won 2 or 3. But they've really got to sort this out. And, I mean, Tim Vickery on the BBC made the point that teams grow into competitions.
Yeah, that's definitely
But he said, as he nicely put it, Brazil have got a lot of growing to do.
Yeah, you've got to pace yourself and grow into the competition, but you've got to grow quick enough to actually not be knocked out.
Yeah, no, exactly. And so it'll be interesting to see if it goes down to Croatia versus Mexico, because the Mexicans are in a wonderful position to go through. In Group B, there were fun and games, weren't there? Australia versus the Netherlands.
That's one of the games of the tournament,
what
along with
game.
Netherlands versus Spain.
Yeah, well, they're the team to watch, clearly.
I would like to sort of reiterate Jim's point from the last podcast. It's like I'm struggling to remember a better start to any international competition ever.
Yeah.
Any competition, to be honest.
Mm. I mean, I
are we going to talk about the Premier League fixtures? They were published yesterday.
Remember us? Shut up.
West Brom Sunderland on the first day. So.
Yeah.
The best just, part of the World Cup is that hour between 7 o'clock and 8 o'clock,
yes,
where you're like, football's starting again,
yeah,
in a bit.
We've just seen a brilliant game, yeah, and there's another one, yeah, and another one.
45 minutes of that hour is spent talking to my girlfriend, trying to work out if she's got any plans. Because the only difference will be I'll just load it up on the computer.
Well, and make the most of that 11 o'clock kickoff, because I'm afraid there's only a handful of them left, I think. So
the group stage, I always forget.
Life's all about taking opportunities, ladies.
I always forget this, but when it comes around again, the group stage is always the best because the game's just so thick and fast.
Yeah, and England are still in it.
Just
at the time of recording.
Yes. I mean, there are matches like Iran and Nigeria, but you know.
Yeah, we'll get to that.
We've got
ladies and gentlemen. That's for the big finale. I feel a bit sorry for Australia. They've battled really well there. I mean, I think I'm right in saying at the time of recording they're still in it because Spain haven't played Chile yet. But you would think, you know,
you can't lose both games.
If you lose the two games, then they're in real trouble.
They've been far better than anyone, including me, would give them credit for. I mean, they're the lowest ranked team in the tournament, I believe, and they've given a great account of themselves.
They
used their physicality well against Chile and were unlucky, and they were very unlucky against Netherlands.
It is a shame for them because, you know, they're in such a tough group. If given a slightly easier group, they could have gone through the second round, maybe. I mean, I know it's a bit silly to say because
it's just a shame they haven't really got like a showpiece like goal that they've scored for the hanging out.
Well, that was.
I mean,
just...
it was like Cahill tapping, but
yeah. I mean, Robin.
That they instantly compared to Van Basten, which is just galling. Yeah, to say the least.
That Van Persie header. Some people compare that to Van Basten. But Robin got the game going and scored his third goal of the tournament. And then, what was it, less than a minute or something like that, Cahill scored one of the goals.
Well, Robin's goal was good enough, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was another bit of classy acceleration.
What a finish, Cahill.
The only reason people aren't giving... There's two reasons that people aren't giving that Robin goal more credit. One, because he does it all the time. We shouldn't really be held against him.
No.
And two, because Cahill's come along
eclipsed.
And stamped all over his sandcastle with massive size 10s.
A speculative volley.
Yeah.
That's what I'm calling it. A speculative volley. Oh, a ridiculous celebration. Shouldn't be done at the World Cup, thank you.
Yeah.
Pete said to me when we were watching it together earlier, he's not even really connected with those punches to the corner flow.
He's not.
He connected with the ball, though, didn't he, Pete?
He did. I was connecting with the football.
And the goal was greatly enhanced by the fact that it hit the crossbar.
Yes.
Yeah,
Tony Yeboah-esque.
Definitely. That's
where it's better than Van Basten's volley.
Is that right?
Well, it hit the bar. Didn't just go on the side netting.
It wasn't better than Van Basten's volley, but it was great that it hit the bar.
Yeah. But that wasn't where the action ended in that game. My goodness, it wasn't. Australia took a 2-1 lead.
They did.
Penalty.
It was a harsh penalty, I thought.
Mm.
Yeah, they could have had a goal about 5 minutes earlier on, though. Mm. Just at the start of the second half. I don't know why that goal was disallowed.
No, I didn't see that. I think I must have missed that. But Australia have been much better. As I said earlier, they've been much better than I thought they'd been. And they were... The problem is, and you're probably touching this briefly later on when we talk about Belgium coming back to beat Algeria. These sides, they get tired because they don't have the ball as much.
Mm.
And I think that's what happened to Australia, and they got undone. I thought the penalty was harsh, but Jednak slotted it away, and I was delighted Jednak got a World Cup goal because he had a brilliant year.
Yes, absolutely. Mm. He's been brilliant for Palace all season.
I do think Netherlands... I mean, just on that note quickly, before I forget, I do think Netherlands' defence will be their undoing at some stage. I mean, if you take it that Spain had an off night... I'm taking nothing away from them, but Spain probably had an off night. And Spain can... They're not really known for scoring hatfuls and hatfuls of goals, are they? I mean, of course, they scored four in the Euro 2012 final, but generally, they do the business with one or two, don't they?
Yeah.
But the way they defend against Australia, you think Chile, then either Brazil, Mexico, or Croatia could hurt them.
Mm.
And it could be their undoing.
Yeah, I mean...
Do you think perhaps they shouldn't have beaten Spain so convincingly, and then they wouldn't be lulled into a slight false sense of versatility?
Personally, as someone with nothing invested in the Netherlands at all, I want them to carry on doing exactly what they're doing.
It's great for the tournament.
Yeah.
And they're quite a likeable side at the minute. And they often are. I mean, they came back and won. I mean, yeah, if you look at the defence, slightly dodgy, but 8 goals... in 2 games. I mean, it is impressive, isn't it?
It's 5.5 goals a game for Netherlands defence.
But they were never going to hammer Australia. As you say, because Australia are a decent side. And after the 5-1, you know, it's always...
Yeah, after the Lord Mayor's show. But 3-2 is a great return.
It's beautiful. Yeah. Absolutely beautiful. And just before we move on from Australia, it was such a shame when they had that chance before the third Dutch goal.
Yeah.
When, I forget, was it Cahill who squared it? Or whoever it was, and I thought he should have shot actually. Mm. But if the cross was a little bit higher on the head rather than the chest, you know, that's 3-2 Australia.
I don't know why he didn't dive and header it.
Well, it came across at pace, and it was at chest high, so it was quite difficult. But 3-2 Australia, that could have been. And then the Dutch go up the other end, and the keeper...
He could have mare there.
Yeah, absolutely, he could have done a little bit of that. I mean, so Clark, it's gutting for Australia.
Clark on the contrary was trying to make an excuse for the keeper, going, well, it bounced just in front of him. He's got to save that. It came from so far out, he had loads of time to adjust his feet. He should have saved it. There's no doubt about that. He should have saved it.
Mm. Yeah, a great shame. Great shame.
And the Netherlands have kind of prospered from a couple of goalkeeping mistakes as well.
Oh, my God. Well, exactly. Casillas was an absolute horror show.
Yeah, there we are. Let's go back a bit then. In Group E, Switzerland beat Turkey. They didn't beat Turkey.
Turkey?
Sorry,
hello.
I took my...
Wow.
Switzerland beat Ecuador 2-1.
I don't even know where Turkey's come from there.
You fancied... Let it be flat up. You fancied the Swiss. Luke, they didn't perform very well.
No, they disappointed me, actually. I thought they'd be a lot better than that. And that said, though, it's their first game. It might be a bit of nerves and what have you. Ecuador aren't terrible.
Mm.
But the way they won the game was absolutely superb. That was the first amazing moment for me.
Yeah, it was, yeah. Where
Barami's tackle was amazing.
Barami's tackle. And then the way he got fouled and then carried on.
Yeah.
It's like he was...
Not in the last minute of a World Cup game. I'm ploughing on.
It was one of those ones where the referee, if he'd have blown up for that, then he would have been surrounded by angry Swissmen.
Multiple bookings.
Yeah. But great finish from Seferovic.
Yeah, he just come on as well.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, yeah.
And they snatched it, gutting for Ecuador. But
Switzerland will need to be a lot better than that if they're going to make the impression on the tournament I think they can make.
Yeah. What about the French, though? They can do something at this tournament, can't they? People have forgotten about them.
Honduras was so bad.
Honduras tried to beat them up.
Yeah.
And, they were rather aggressive.
Mind you, though, Pogba was lucky to stay on the field, was he not?
He was. I think you could have made an argument. I mean, Palacios got his marching orders that were coming anyway. But at that in that flashpoint, they both could have walked, I thought. Right. I thought Pogba was a bit naughty, and obviously Palacios is always a bit naughty. But I've got a Honduran colleague at work, and he said to me before this game against France, he said, "We don't play, we fight. That's all we do."
What was that thing outside of war zones? Honduras has the highest murder rate per capita in the world.
Yeah, right.
And they certainly put that on the pitch. Goodness. I'm going to say...
Is that what their tagline was on their bus? On their World Cup slogan?
Welcome to Madia.
Yeah.
I'm going to say something that I may regret, but please bear with me here. I've enjoyed Thierry Henry on the BBC. He can be a little bit too suave and too, you know...
I think there's a few foreign footballers on the BBC and probably less so the ITV coverage that are kind of resting on their laurels slightly, and if a English pundit said the things that they said, they would be roasted.
I agree.
Some of the comments that have come out of their mouths have been a bit savage-esque, and you think...
I agree with you.
You're not even watching the game.
They dressed it up in like a continental bit of charm and so everyone's like,
I'll adopt your statement, which is where I'll go with this. English or Welsh pundit, right?
Yeah.
Now, I felt sorry for Robbie Savage for a moment. For a moment.
Mm.
When they were talking about that in the studio, Henri does is turn to Seydorf and chat to him, and whoever's on the end is completely isolated. Like, I felt a bit sorry for Danny Murphy the other night. Well, when it was Lennon, Murphy and Phil Neville, there was much better chat. I think Lennon's pretty good, actually.
Lennon did at one point refer to himself in third person.
Oh, did he?
He said it's another Lennon special or something like that.
Maybe he was talking about...
Because he fancied a player or a club.
Adrian
or a
Charles,
team, rather.
Adrian Charles called him Scottish.
Yeah.
Oh,
my goodness. He's getting more accurate, but still his accuracy is poor.
Adrian Charles sat on the beach in a pair of shorts and flip-flops, just bashing out factual errors. That's what they put on the big PowerPoint on ITV's coverage before the World Cup.
I'll tell you what, though, it's great for Matt Smith. I can't wait to see him on the TV when I turn on ITV. Hey! There's the man with the eyebrow. Anyway, so, yeah, I thought Henri was saying it wasn't a foul. It wasn't a sending off. And Savage was saying... Well, no, hang on. We all remember Beckham, of course, and maybe threw in one or two other examples. And Henri was like, oh, Robbie, really, you're saying that. And I thought, actually, that's irrelevant.
No, but Henri did actually say, as a sort of joke, he's French, so for me, it's not a sending off.
Yeah, I know, but I just thought he was a bit harsh on
I'm not defending him, I'm just saying that was the context.
He could have gone back to the...
Benzema was very unlucky not to have a hat-trick.
Wasn't he just?
Yeah.
that whole palaver...
Has anyone checked on Jonathan Pearce? Is he all right? Has he worked since then? Has he done another game since then?
He's definitely had a hernia. I just feel like a bit of, you know, lower intestine popping.
When it hit the post, that's not a goal. Yeah, we know. Get on to the decision.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that is... Yeah, that's the one we were... Yeah, excellent. Thanks. What is going on? Well, I'll tell you what's going on. The first one wasn't a goal. The second one was.
I love the way that when...
It's as simple as that.
When FIFA and everyone pulled out the goal line technology, they said something like, never again will there be a debate whether the ball's over the line or not.
Unless you're Jonathan
Pearce. They fail to realise that actually the commentators can be so stupid that they need to be fully briefed on this.
Yeah, but you'd rather that panned out the way it did than not.
Is it circle a lot or not?
I thought it was hilarious. I just thought, well, because to me it seems, obviously we do our own football show and it's a bit cheap for us to be chipping off everyone all the time because we do our own thing, but for me it seems like the more technology they get, the more little trinkets these commentators get and pundits get, these touch screens, everything, they just forget about the basics. The basics just completely go out the window and they don't bothered sort of working hard at sort of doing what they used to do before this came along.
You are absolutely right, and I thought the French took care of Turkey in that game.
But Wilson... When are Turkey playing? I haven't seen them once yet.
Lazy.
Can't wait to see them around round play.
Wilson Palacios had a terrible day, didn't he?
No, he had a great day. he set out and achieved exactly what he wanted to do. That foul for the penalty was just comedy. That foul. I know that sometimes we say, "Oh, so a player does this," and you'd be embarrassed about that Saturday league. I think that I've seen a player I've played with who isn't even a footballer who came along to help us out on a Sunday game once do that. And everyone go, oh, you can't really do that. He's done it at the World Cup.
What do you think? Is that their game plan? Do you think as he walked off to the tunnel getting sent off, he's looking around going, well, are you coming? Who's with me?
Yeah.
Come on, lads. Where's the solidarity?
It's like the Zaire player just kicking the ball away in the free kick wall.
Yeah, but there's a very sinister...
story about that.
And wider.
Are we suggesting that Wilson Palacios may have some sort of problems back in Honduras?
He's not getting paid.
No, I don't think that.
People are making money in the stands.
I just think the Zaire one's quite different if you look at the story. But yeah, he fouled Pogba. Benzema put the penalty away. Benzema started the tournament very well. I think France looked pretty good, did they not?
Yeah, it's difficult to gauge, though, because they weren't playing anyone who was any way good. Now, I know they drew against England when they had 10 men or whatever. They're not good enough. And so we'll really see what happens with France when they play Switzerland. I think they're a good, solid unit, and France will maybe find it a bit harder to break them down.
I'm really looking forward to that, mate.
Indeed. More red-hot World Cup chat after this message.
Listeners to the Football Ramble are eligible for a fantastic offer with Squarespace, the all-in-one platform that makes it fast and simple to build your own professional website and online shop. The easy-to-use drag-and-drop tools, responsive designs, and 24/7 customer support teams based in New York and Dublin mean you can create a beautifully designed website for as little as £5 a month. This includes a free domain name when you sign up for a year. Seamless e-commerce solutions mean that your business can be taking money in minutes. So when you sign up for Squarespace, make sure to use the offer code RAMBLE to get 10% off and show your support for the Football Ramble. No credit card required. Start building your website today. A better web starts with your website.
In Group F, Argentina, they beat Bosnia and Herzegovina 2-1 at the Maracanã, the first game at the Maracanã, which included the Bosnians, their first World Cup. It was fantastic.
Great to see them get to play their first proper World Cup game.
Absolutely, yeah. And the people were saying that the atmosphere in the stadium that night was just ridiculous because of all the Argentinian fans. They were in good voice. Bosnia got off to an awful start. Oh, it was such a shame for them.
Not what you want, is it, Richard? It's literally not what you want.
So many early goals in this World Cup.
Oh, but it was...
You can't turn up late to any of them.
No. Apart from Iran, Nigeria.
Yeah.
Well, you can, in my view, you can
watch 3 hours
of
it.
Yeah, whatever you want. Yeah.
Don't give away the grand finale. it was such a shame. But Bosnia gave a really good account of themselves. And they dealt with Argentina's attacking threat for the most part of the game, really. I mean, Argentina started with the back three, and Sabella changed that at half time. It really wasn't working. He brought Higuain on. I thought Higuain would probably started.
Yeah, I think didn't he have an injury concern?
Did he?
I think I'd read that was why they changed it up in the first place. But Lionel Messi started really poorly. He kept giving the ball away. It was like he'd seen. He pleased to be in the Maracanã, of course. He'd seen that all those Argentinian fans have made the journey. I think he probably still wants to try and win them over to a certain extent because they've never taken to him naturally, have they? The Argentinian fans.
That's right.
He just gave the ball away over and over again. He was taking far too many touches. But obviously...
Argentina laboured, didn't they? But thank goodness the little man scored.
Great goal. Lovely goal.
Yeah,
it's a decent hit.
Well, when he picked up the ball, it was probably the only time in the game where... You know when he picks the ball up for Barcelona and he's on a hat trick in the Champions League, and you just think, here he goes, and he's going to score two goals now in the space of one. Do you know what I mean? I mean, you know when he picks up the ball with conviction, and he's got one thing in his mind, woof, and he's away.
He drives with
that.
Them,
he did that in that moment, and as soon as he picked it up, you know, I'm sure a lot of people thought, here we go, and you hadn't seen it before that in that game. So it was good to see him do that, of course. And they got the winner. It was nice to see Bosnia score at the end, their first World Cup goal.
Yeah,
nice little finish.
Yeah, lovely little.
They're playing Argentina, for crying out loud. Yeah, you know, one of the favourites for the.
Well,
they'll
take a lot of heart from that result. They nullified.
Well, should better beat the other two teams in the group.
Well, you'd expect so.
The concern for Argentina is Romero. I might have said it already, but he's not played much football at all, and he probably could have done better with that Bosnia goal, actually. He could be their undoing, especially when you get into the later stages and it's really fine margins.
Yeah,
you'd hope he's going to be on his toes and up for it because he's not played as much at all this season.
Diego Maradona claims he was turned away from the stadium by FIFA officials. Did you see that? Maradona said, "It is one thing to not be able to go to a game and another to not be allowed to go." Yes.
That's confusing. Did he buy a ticket? Surely if he buys a ticket, he's allowed in.
Well, I don't know what the score is.
Did FIFA comment?
Well, they did. But Maradona finished by saying, "When there is goodwill, you're allowed in. But when there is ill will, it's better to forget it and head back to the hotel."
Thanks for the update. He also said last week that Neymar and Messi are like me and Pele.
Yeah.
Neymar's not as good as Messi.
Pele in a second, but El Diego, he has been slagging off FIFA with extreme regularity of late. Yeah. Fair enough, good
get,
man.
Get on the bandwagon.
But if you then turn up and go, "Hey, remember me, I'm that guy who played in..." No. The house always wins.
You should be able to go. If you've actually won the competition, you should be able to go to any game you want.
Yeah.
It should be like when you win a big golf tournament or whatever, like the Masters, and you always get invited back. It should be like that.
Yeah. Jack Charlton agrees with you there. Yeah. Well, FIFA responded by saying, "We are not aware that he was not allowed into the Maracanã. Perhaps he just tried the wrong door."
Oh. Oh, right. Okay. Yeah. I get it.
The only one that says tickets there. Pele had a nightmare as well. He had to listen to the first half of the Brazil game on a car radio as he was stuck in traffic.
Pele... Oh, get the siren out, Pele. Surely there's a Pele siren in Brazil. There must be. Just goes, I would. Never has to move out the way.
Yeah, all the cars just stop and he just climbs over all of the cars, like the REM video.
Yeah, everybody hurts. Yeah.
He said, "It was an incredible pain. I thought, oh my good, how did we get stuck in this traffic?" Because there's loads of traffic in the country. We just had to sit there.
Yeah, what else can you do in that situation?
So Pele and Maradona both having trouble getting into World Cup matches.
How are they still making headlines in the World Cup? That's what I want to know.
Good, isn't it?
I say headlines, I mean Marcus has picked them out.
Thank you. We do it so you don't have to, ladies and gentlemen. Iran 0, Nigeria 0. Here we go.
My biggest regret of this is that it wasn't the final. It's come too early.
It was last time final.
Yeah.
4 years ago.
Shola Ramiobi with a diving header.
Changed the game. He changed that game. Nigeria looked a hell of a lot more direct.
Shola Ramiobi made sure that Iran got that clean sheet. he came on and it was
depressing,
great to see him
isn't
there.
It? Depressing. No. Depressing that Shola Ramiobi coming on changes a World Cup game. I can't
imagine give you hope, Pete?
Any point in the last 10 years, but anyone had said that to me, I'd be like, that's a bit weird.
When you say change the game, it was 0-0 when he came on, and it ended 0-0. I mean, that is the very loosest interpretation of changing the game I've ever heard.
They had no touches in the 18-yard box, and then suddenly they had three or four.
Six appearances for Nigeria, two goals. It's not that bad.
It's not bad at all.
No. It's better than his Newcastle record.
Yeah.
That's right. Well, we hope to see more from Nigeria, because, I mean, Stephen Cash is a great guy. Yeah. And, surely they've got more at all. Sure.
I don't think they'll do much.
Great keeper. Emenike was awful.
Even though
he scored more goals than anyone else in the African Cup of Nations, didn't he? He had a pretty good run up to the World Cup as well. He just looked awful.
Yeah, well, we'll get to Group H in a minute. We're talking to goalkeepers. Group G, Germany beat Portugal 4-0. Terrible start for Portugal. But Germany, they probably look the best side in the competition so far.
Portugal was so bad, it couldn't have gone any worse for them.
It really couldn't. I mean, Patricio in the Portugal goal nearly gifted Sami Khedira one, didn't he?
He did, yeah.
He just got outrageous.
That kick was so bad.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, I read that,
so close to going.
I read just before we came in the studio, actually, that this talk of Ronaldo might be out for the tournament.
Yeah.
Injured. I mean, Pepe's obviously suspended. He's an important player.
Contrail's injured.
Germany started playing that weird sort of like counter-attacking game where they would just sort of sit back, and then like Khedira would just rake massive balls to Muller on the left-hand side, and Muller would just find so much space in the 18-yard box. It was just incredible.
Such a good play. They look frightened, don't they? I mean, the Germans... the Dutch are... Very, very interested and fun to watch. But I know it's only one game in Portugal down to 10 men. But before it started,
everyone's, you know, calls Portugal a one-man team. They're not. They're probably a two-man team in Moutinho and Ronaldo. Mm. But Moutinho, they couldn't get the ball to him.
No.
And even the couple of touches that he showed, he just couldn't get a hold of the game at all. It was incredible. And like, I don't know why they brought Eder on, and then because the quality of the balls in the box, Nani and Pereira. Mm. Terrible, like balls into the 6 yard box, 18 yard box, and then put the biggest striker up top to get these balls that don't exist. They had out of six chances that I counted, they got one on target, and it almost led to a goal. But it's just
Germany,
it was just awful.
Germany picked one recognised forward. They look like they score goals all day.
Yeah,
Thomas Müller has already got 8 World Cup goals to his name
in 7 games.
And he's 24.
Yeah, he's definitely going to break the record, isn't he?
You see Hummel's goal, his header, where it was just like there was two defenders on him. And he's still got a header in. That's embarrassing.
Good player.
Embarrassing.
Pete's angry. I like it.
I think the Portuguese keeper's injured as well, isn't he? They couldn't have had a worse start.
Well, and you think about goal difference. I mean, if the US get a point off Portugal, that should be enough.
Which they could. I mean, they could. They looked all right against Ghana.
That should be enough, should it not?
Yeah, it could be, yeah.
I mean, they responded brilliantly when Ghana pegged them back. And that was a pretty good game. Clint Dempsey scored the fifth fastest goal in World Cup history. Shame for Altidore.
Mm. Yeah, it was. He scored a couple, he was sort of gearing up for a big tournament. He finally scored a couple in a warm-up game. Yeah. I think his first goal since December, as we said. And then, unfortunately, he's torn his hamstring. If he has, it looked a bad one.
Yeah.
They're not blessed with goals. I was in a taxi for that second half on the way home with a Ghanaian guy. He was loving it.
Really?
Yeah, he was loving it when they scored.
He must have been gutted.
Solidarity with Pele, Pete.
Now, people are saying, oh, no, don't worry, guys, the pop man's there.
It's not the same guy.
Not him.
Two clues.
Pretender.
One is he looks a lot younger. Two, the pot isn't steaming.
No.
Mm. And he's not got the special sauce in there.
The pot is more opulent.
Is this witch doctor related?
I've no idea, Luke.
Could be.
I tried to stay away from that.
Can I say, John Brooks is winner for a USA. It's my moment of the tournament so far.
Same with Danny Murphy. You love Danny Murphy, don't you?
Is that what Danny Murphy said? Oh, I only watched the goals back. It was a bit late for me. That was a bit late for me.
Told you, take the opportunities, mate.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was, wasn't it? He couldn't believe he scored.
Yeah. And I love watching all the reaction videos on Twitter from all around different parts of the US.
Yeah.
And there's a great vine of Twitter activity in the US as that goal went in, and it just explodes all down the East and West Coast. It's brilliant.
They're
really good.
And when we talk about likeable teams, you know, Ghana versus US, two very likeable sides there.
Yeah.
I feel a bit sorry for the Ghanaians because they've got Germany next, and they're really up against it. But I mean, the Americans could, as I say, they could cause an upset there and go through ahead of Portugal. We'll have to look at that one with bated breath. In Group H, Belgium had an impressive comeback against Algeria. Algeria looked pretty good.
Yeah,
they tired a bit, there, didn't they?
They did.
Yeah,
Vertonghen with a clumsy foul.
Belgium looked like they were suffering under the pressure a little bit as well. They looked like they were making poor decisions and trying way too hard.
Was it like 36 minutes? They had to. If they hadn't scored Algeria within 36 minutes, they would have been the team with the longest goal drought in World Cup history.
Really? Okay.
That's right.
But they managed it by not that long.
Okay, that's good. Because Algeria, the previous tournament...
That was gearing up to be like an amazing fact, and then at the end you just went, not that long.
Well,
506 minutes, I think, they'd gone without a World Cup goal.
Yeah, so... But what I'm saying is that... I don't know, what minute did they score in compared to the 36 minutes that they were scared of?
37th minute, something like that.
They didn't beat it. What? I'm confused now.
No, I think it was slightly before that. What Pete's saying is correct because I also sort of.
Well, they hadn't scored since the 1986 World Cup.
Mm.
I mean, they'd only been.
That's a long time.
Yeah. Well, I mean, to be honest, I think they'd only qualified to the 2000.
They scored in the 24th minute.
There you are. But Wilmot's made a couple of canny subs, didn't he? Fellaini with a wonderful header.
He's got players to draw, and that was a great header.
Brilliant header.
It was almost like a back header. It reminded me a bit of the famous Hernandez back header.
Yeah, Sheringham versus Greece.
I
was pleased for Fellaini because he's not had the best of times this season.
And it must be really annoying to have a player in Axel Witsel playing in your position who looks exactly like you, but is ahead of you in the team. Because people are just saying to him, that's like you, but better than you. That's what you would be like if you were really good. And it must be annoying for him.
Mertens, eh?
Yeah.
Scalped one in.
Don't like Mertens because I'm pretty sure he was the guy that knocked Gary Cahill out of Euro 2012 by pushing him in the back in a Wembley friendly and breaking his jaw.
Oh, right.
Wasn't it? Pretty sure it was Mertens.
Oh,
yeah.
You don't like
he couldn't have known that would happen.
He scored a great goal, though, didn't he?
He did score quite, yeah. He shouldn't be allowed. What I'm saying is he should have been banned for life for that.
Banned for life.
Brave Cahill. Gary Bravehill.
Let's rush off and talk about Russia against the Korea Republic, otherwise known as South Korea.
They look good. South Korea, they did okay.
Yeah. Akinfeev, eh?
Yeah, that was poor.
An
really
awful
poor.
Evening. Yeah. An awful, awful evening.
The way you said that was like he had something else happen in the evening. Like he, I don't know, like he spilled soup down his shirt or something.
Well, he wouldn't have been able to hold it. he couldn't hold anything, could he?
No. We needed 10 men running up to him and giving him a big group hug because nothing else would have helped him at that point. It just is.
69 international caps.
He looked like he was going to cry.
He looked like he'd just been thrown in at the deep end.
And you know when you say like a keeper do like a half and half mistake, like you know he could have done better, he could have done worse.
And they shout at the defenders or something.
He was like 3 minutes after still shaking his head, going, "I can't believe that's just happened."
Well, in the World Cup against a team who you want to be beating, it's obviously hurts, cuts real deep.
You're right. He looked absolutely destroyed, didn't he? And I was pleased Russia scored because I thought, blimey, this guy, you know, he'd be absolutely devastated.
Capello is ruining his own career, though, isn't he? I mean, let's be honest. I mean, okay, fair enough, Russia have qualified. But I mean, Capello, who was an amazing manager back in the day, he hasn't won anything since 2007, which was the league with Real Madrid, which maybe isn't the most amazing achievement. I mean, he's not going to go down in history for that. Before that, you've got to go back to like 2001 when he won the league with Roma. And really, I mean, come on.
He was in great spirits after. Did you see him being interviewed? He's like, I just think he's like, I'm just here, aren't I?
Loving it.
Yeah, I'm back. Capello's back at the World Cup. He said that he thanked his team for their reaction and he said that it was the greatest birthday gift he could have received. A win, maybe?
His family must give him shit presents. A 1-1 with South Korea. Battling 1-1 draw.
Well, the problem with South Korea is that they've already gone so far in that competition that whatever they do is kind of like, they're not minnows anymore because they did so well, a little while
2002,
ago.
2002, yeah.
That's right. Chaps, we're going to have to rush off. A little tiny bit of correspondence before we go.
Luke. Yes. Shout out to Will Brown, who brought to my attention the greatest fan seen so far at the World Cup, which he's termed the Colombian swastika marijuana leaf pope fan.
I'm distancing myself immediately.
Wow. Have you seen it? Have you seen him?
I want a bit of this.
Amazing, amazing get up. do check it out in the next Colombia game if you can. Today's question was, what would you like to see as the English version of the Colombian Birdman / Ghanaian Potman?
Oh, yeah, okay.
Sam Collins, I like this. The bird watching man and the teapot man.
Nice.
Hashtag quintessential.
I'm thinking Bill Oddie.
Bill Oddie would work, wouldn't it?
I'd go for Tarquin, the Yorkshire pudding. Okay. And you'd just be a big fleshy.
You'll be pleased to know the Yorkshire pudding will feature shortly.
Okay, right.
The loot and loot man.
Yeah, that's
very medieval English. I like that. That's from Andrew Pizzle. Timothy Logan, the English Greg's man, a bloke with pasties and cheese bakes strapped to his face.
Lovely.
Train him on Twitter. Gunnosaurus in a bowler hat. Jeffrey Boycott dressed up as a Yorkshire pudding. That's from John Hissett. Lewis Taylor, this is very good. Colin the Complainer. Spends 19 minutes shouting out how shit everything is. Stadium, toilets, seats, pies, and of course Roy Hodgson. I can see that taking off. Graham Hill wants to know, Pete, if you'd be interested in being yogurt man. Simply just doused with yogurt. There could perhaps be a ceremonial dunking pre-game.
That would be the Greek, surely.
You've done
that
worse. Would be the Greek. Yeah, you have to support the Greeks.
I'd be the Germans, wouldn't it? Muller Light.
I'd be a queuing man and I'd just queue outside the ground and never get in.
Here's from Thomas. This is from Thomas. Lee Sharp Barbecue Man.
You wouldn't
man.
Need to spend money on a ticket then.
Lee Sharp Barbecue Man.
Yes, okay.
St George's apron / chef's hat, tongs in one hand, piss weak lager in the other, tossing burgers to the crowd.
Yeah.
One or two more just quickly. Bob Dunn, I quite like this one. Bob Dunn on Facebook. A nightdress and an armour of beer cans with a kebab lance.
Fantastic.
And we'll finish off with Christian Taylor, who says the disembodied digital head of Ray Winston, who would fly around the stadium asking rival fans what they think the odds are for him to fucking do them in. And before we, I like that idea. Thanks for that, Christian.
Do them in.
And we should mention all the work that Kelly Wells is doing on the website. She's editing the website. It's posts and content every single day, and that's at thefootballramble.com.
Queen excellent Kelly. Work. Really, really excellent work.
We'll be back on Friday, I think, to talk about England versus Uruguay.
Very early in the morning Friday.
The rest, yes, indeed. That leaves me just about enough time to say goodbye, Pete.
Goodbye, Pete.
It's goodbye, Luke.
Goodbye, Luke.
And it's goodbye from me.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.